Let me give you the aims and the application for tonight. And we have these on every lesson. This is lesson three. If you have the student book, lesson three, and the title of it is, Will the Church Go Through the Tribulation? Now, this is an overview. These are overview lessons. Of course, you could take weeks on this one alone. This is a bit of an overview. And if, as we've said, if you do use the book, I would encourage you, I hope you've been doing it, but let me just take a moment and encourage you once again that each lesson has several scriptures to read leading up to the lesson. So week four, God willing, will be next week. And if you look at page number 16, it says, what happens in the Great Tribulation? And then it gives you some background reading to do. And so that could start tomorrow for next Sunday. So that when you come into next Sunday night's meeting, God willing, you've already read through, maybe you tried to answer some of these questions, and that'll help us as we go through it. So just a reminder that this series has that for us. So lesson aim number one is to understand that the coming of Christ is imminent. What does that word imminent mean? It means at any moment. At any moment. We're not going to get an email from heaven and saying, next Monday I'm coming. That's not going to happen. All right? Just like when a thief says he's coming, he doesn't warn you a week out and say, next Monday I'm going to come. And that's the analogy that the Bible gives. It's like a thief in the night. So it's imminent. What should we do then? The application for that one is watch and be ready for the return of Christ. Kind of hit on that a little bit last Sunday. Watch and be ready. Then lesson aim number two, to recognize that the tribulation will be a time of terrible suffering. The tribulation. We believe it's 7 years long. We believe that it is divided up in half. You have the beginning 3.5 years, and then you have the second 3.5, which is considered the Great Tribulation. The application is, believe in Christ as your Savior. If you're not saved, you don't want to be around when the tribulation is running. You don't want to be around. There's nothing good about it. In the sense of the judgment of God. So that's the first thing. If you're not saved, Acts 16:31, the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And so I would consider that. Again, I cannot twist your arm, nor would I want to. But I do want you to be saved. I mean, if a pastor doesn't have that desire for people to be saved, then he should go do something else. And I mean that sincerely, but I cannot make anyone get saved. That's the beauty of the free will of God. Secondly, you're saved. So, okay, we're already saved. Then follow him as your Lord and Master. Follow him. That's the application of that second aim. Follow him. That's why anywhere with Jesus I can safely go. So sometimes songs are chosen for a reason. It just wasn't the right tune for us, all right? But anywhere with Jesus. That means, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. So wherever God is leading us, then we need to follow him. So 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and 17, I know we've already read it, but I'm going to read it one more time. Verse 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we... So if the trumpet were to sound tonight, then those saints that have already gone on before us, they're going to be ahead of us by just a quick little bit. They're going to lead the way, and then those of us, then we which are alive and remain, shall be caught up, raptured up, rapturo, caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Again, when the Lord returns, it's not the second coming of the Lord on earth. First, we have his return in the air, and we meet the Lord in the air, and then we go back with him for that seven-year period of time, and then when that ends, again, I'm getting ahead a little bit here, then we come back with him, and that's when he comes down, and we all have a white horse, and we all of a sudden be equestrian experts. You won't have to have any lessons. It will just obey. It'll be the perfect horse, right, for each of us. And boy, I'm glad I'm saved. I don't know about you, but I'm glad I'm saved. I know I'm glad I'm in the hand of God, and Christ is, and I'm in the hand of Jesus, and he's hands in the hand of God, and no man can pluck me out of the Father's hand. I am thoroughly thankful for that tonight, and I know that it's only by the grace of God. so shall we ever be with the Lord. Isn't that a great promise? Maybe if you haven't underlined that in your Bible, so shall we ever be with the Lord. That means we're never leaving his presence, physical presence with the Lord. At this time, it's it. We're in. I mean, we're in now. By the way, eternal life is not something that we get when we die. Eternal life is a present possession. If you are saved, you have eternal life tonight. The 8th of March, 2026, if you're saved, you have eternal life. We just haven't gone to heaven yet. We already have eternal life. We cannot be threatened with death. Because what is that? That's entrance into life. And so I'm so thankful that we have this tonight. Okay, so this is our theme verse. Will the church go through the tribulation? A few more opening remarks. The rapture of the saints will occur before the tribulation begins. And so I'm thankful that it's not about being, you know, it's not that the good Christians will go to the rapture and the bad Christians will stay behind. There's no such thing like, that's not how it works, okay? Now, we want to strive to live our life pleasing to God. 1 Corinthians 10:31 is a verse that we want to meditate on from time to time. God's word says this, whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do. I was talking to Marjorie, this is a 10-year-old young lady from Honduras, Marjorie Tate, and I said, Marjorie, what's your favorite food? Pizza. I said, okay, all right, I probably could have guessed that one, but I didn't say that to her. I just said, okay, all right, do you have number two? What's your second favorite food? Here's what she said, Brother Rod, I couldn't believe it. Tuna fish sandwich. Wow, from a 10-year-old. That was pretty impressive. And that led us to say, oh, I said, oh, you like fish? She goes, oh, I love fish. I said, well, we have some really good fish in Vancouver. It's called salmon. She goes, oh, I love salmon. I love salmon. So, you know, these conversations about food are very dear to my heart. With a 10-year-old or a 100-year-old, it doesn't matter. And that led to say, she said something about sushi. And I said, what? You like sushi? Her eyes got as big as saucers. So we took. I said, well, that's where we're going then. We're going for sushi. So I told her twin brother, Alejandro, about 5 minutes later, I said, we're going to lunch, and you can ask your sister where we're going. If you don't like it, it's her fault because she chose. When she told him, his eyes got like double saucers. They both like it. Whether therefore ye eat or drink. But then it says this, or whatsoever ye do, do all how to the glory of God. See, that's the way we ought to be living our life every day. How can I live my life to the glory of God? When we open this book in the morning, God, can you teach me something from your word today that I might glorify you with my life? This ought to be the goal of every believer, to glorify God. We have that privilege to do that. And even as sinners saved by grace, we can glorify God. But when it comes to this time, this snatching away, we will all be caught up together with the Lord to meet him in the air. And then turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 4. I need to speed up a little bit here. 1 Corinthians chapter number 4. And verse number 5. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. And then shall every man have praise of God. We talked a little bit about it last week, that this will begin our time of judgment. Now, don't panic, because it's not a time of judgment for sin. We're going to be judged for our works. Remember we talked about that last week? That there's wood, hay, and stubble, and there's gold, silver, and precious stones. And that's what we want to aim for, because our work is going to be tried by fire. And whatever remains is how we can even give more glory and praise to God as we enter into his kingdom. So we don't, as Christians, we don't fear the tribulation, because we will be in the presence of God. We will be with him. Our sins have been covered. So Let's look at a few things here within the notebook, or if you're writing notes or just listening. Number one, the coming of Christ is imminent. We looked at that. Let's go to Matthew 24, please. Matthew 24. The word imminent means that it could happen anytime. We're waiting, we're looking, we're longing. Matthew chapter 24, verse number 36. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. This is Jesus speaking here. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. So he's talking about his return. Let's hear what he has to say. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. So basically, I'm not trying to correct the Bible, of course, but business as usual. And he's saying, this is the way it's going to be before I come back. That's what's going to be happening. And knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. We've seen that twice now, verse 37 and verse 39. Verse 40, then shall two be in the field. One shall be taken and the other left. Meaning one will be saved, one won't have been saved, and so they're not going up in the clouds. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, here's the analogy that Jesus gives, he would have watched, right? I mean, a thief says, I'm coming tonight at 7 o'clock. You're not going to be at Starbucks at 7 o'clock drinking a latte. You're going to be home waiting for the thief to come, all right? Or you're going to have somebody, come help you with that, right? Just an analogy, but it's a great analogy. He would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. I love verse 44. Therefore, which means because of what I just said, this is what it's there for, right? Be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think, what's the next word? Not. I believe that's what we have in our, every generation's had it. And we have it today. Oh, you've been saying the Lord's coming. You've been saying the Lord's coming. He's not coming. And that Jesus, it even prophesied that that's how it's going to be in the last days. Scoffers. Verse 45. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him. Should be looking in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So it is imminent. Let me give you a couple things maybe to consider. Number one, in these verses that we just read, it is a surprising day. It's a surprising day. We see that in verses number 37 through 39. We see that everybody is secure in and of themselves. By the way, my security is not in my job. My security is not in the fact that I'm a pastor. That's a calling, not a job, but just, you know what I'm saying. Your security should not be in who signs your check. Your security is in the Lord. My security is in God. The goal is always God. It's not about what I have. It's about who God is. And that is my security because, again, what if all of those things were taken away from you? What defines you tonight? What defines me? Is it defining to me that I've been a pastor and I'm a pastor? I hope not. Brother Rod's a crane operator. Is that what defines him? I don't think so. And we could go through the room and talk about all the things that we do with our secular job and our careers, but that's not defining for the Christian. What's defining for the Christian is our time with God that we learned about this morning, our walk with God, our relationship with God, drawing nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to us. This is what defines us. Because if all that goes away, guess what? Never goes away. I'm a child of the King. Take everything away, but you cannot take that away from me. And you can have everything stripped from you. You can lose whatever you think is valuable. I'm not saying we just throw everything away and, you know, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, where does our value, what defines you? And I pray that what defines me is not what I do, but who he is. And Brother Tate talked about that a little bit this morning. And we got to be careful, even in the church, that we're so busy doing that we have no time drawing near to the one who wants us to do. We want to draw near first, but then when we draw near, guess what's going to happen? We're going to realize there's a lot to do. But we're not doing it for the sake of doing it. We're doing it for the King. Not for building a kingdom now, but for building a kingdom later. So also we find it's a surprising day. They were secure enough themselves, but also they were careless. They were careless. They were just living however they wanted. Sun up, sun down, just nothing changing. And then we find also that it was a surprising day because it was too late for some. It was too late. May God help us in writing this. Nextly, we find that it was not only a surprising day, but secondly, it was a separating day. Look at verse 40 and 41. Then shall two be in the field. What happens? One shall be taken. What's that? That's a believer. That's a child of God. Remember, we do not become a child of God the day we are born physically. Jesus said to a very religious man, you must be born again. So I am not going to heaven because I was born from Christian parents, June 28, 1973. That did not make me a Christian. That made me the son of Ken and Lee Turner, but that didn't make me a Christian. It wasn't until I was 9 years old that I was convicted of my need of a Savior, having heard the gospel message my entire life, including in the womb. But when I was 9 years old, I realized, you know what? I need to be saved. Jesus died for me. He may have died for the whole world, but he died for me. 43 years ago, this April, I got saved. Like I said, I'm so glad I'm saved. I don't deserve it. I deserve to go to hell. For the wages of sin is death. You know what? That's what I deserve. And I'm not sorry, but that's what you deserve. We don't have to be sorry about it. It's truth. But praise God, the gift of God, the rest of that verse says, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Hallelujah for that. Amen. You know, the devil went to check that tomb night number one. He still did. Night number two, he's still dead. After that third day, devil, we got a problem. There's nobody there. Praise God, he had victory. And so, it's a separating day. One shall be taken, one shall be left. That's unbelievers. The day of the Lord's coming is known to no man. We do not have it. No matter how many times people try to say, this is when the Lord is coming. They've made predictions all down through the time, all down through lots of time. No one knows. The day of the Lord is known by no man. We saw that in our text. The hour of the Lord's coming is not known, neither the day nor the hour. It will be unexpected, just like the flood. Jesus just said that. They were carrying on. In fact, if we don't have time to go and read about it, how Noah was preaching, a preacher of righteousness, building that flood for decades and decades and decades and decades and decades, and only him and his wife, his three sons, and their wives, only eight people. That's it. Eight people believed. And guess what? That boat, that ark, maybe you know this already just as a refresher, that ark is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. The only people that were saved were people that got in the ark. Everyone there, Noah was preaching over 100 years. Think of it. I think about that, and that's three. I still have 75 more years to go. I don't think I'll be around for that one, okay? And only eight people got on. You see, the flood was also a separating moment. Those eight people that were alive, they were alive because they believed that this boat, having never rained one time ever, that this boat was going to be needed. And that boat is a picture of Jesus Christ. Everyone who gets in Christ, when Christ returns, we'll be caught up together with the Lord and meet him in the air. Praise God for that. If you're not in Christ, You can get in Christ tonight. How do you get in Christ? It's by grace through faith. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." You can get in Christ tonight. It will be as much without previous sign or warning as a coming of a thief, and we've talked about that. But he tells us tonight, be ready. He tells us tonight to watch. Would you go to 1 Corinthians 15? The coming of Christ is imminent. Thank you for listening. I trust that God is helping us tonight, encouraging us tonight, convicting us where we need it. We all need it. Verse 52. Maybe mark some of these in your Bible and go back and read them at another time and really think about them and meditate on them. Let's read verse 51. "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed." This word sleep there is not referring to taking a nap on Sunday afternoon in your recliner. It's talking about your body is dead. You are more than taking a nap, you're done. I'm not trying to be disrespectful, that's just what it means. In a moment, notice that, verse 52, "In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye," think about how fast an eye twinkles. I don't know if they've been able to gauge the speed, somebody probably has, but it blinks pretty fast. It's boom, and there it is, and it's gone. And that's what he's saying here. "We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible." Praise God for that. "And we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption." Corruptible, that's our bodies now. Our bodies, even though we're saved, if you're saved tonight, your body is not sanctified. Okay? It's not getting any younger. And we feel a lot of creaks and things that just are painful and so forth. That's because we're corruptible beings. But this corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, verse 54, then, I like it every time you see the word then in the Bible. Somebody ought to do a message on just then. Let's have the then series, all right? Because it's really neat when you think about it. We hit a couple of them today. "Then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory." Amen. How many of you like victory? How many like that word, victory? Are you still with me? Yes, I love victory. I mean, we've got to be good losers, but I'd rather be a good victorious one. And Jesus says here, Paul says you're gonna be in victory. "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, but the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through" who? "Our Lord Jesus Christ." Praise God. Now here we go. Here's another word. Therefore. What's it there for? After all I've just said, Paul says, therefore, my beloved brethren, because you just heard this, because you just read that, Pucci lip disease has to be put away. You know what a Pucci lip disease is? That's when you do this. Life's so terrible. Hey, I'm guilty of it sometimes. Patch the Pirate wrote the song. You'll have to look it up on Google. Pucci lip will get you if you don't watch out. It's a famous hymn of the faith. He says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, because you've heard this, be ye steadfast." Don't quit. Sadly, even in the Bible says, in the end times, the very elect will pack it in. Hey, if I told you how many times I've been tempted to quit, maybe it would shock you. I don't even know how many. I lost track, Brother Rod. Because Satan is a liar. Just mark it down right now. We're going to get to the end here. Mark it down. Satan is a liar. And when he tries to camp out on your shoulder and camp out on your life and try to get you to walk away from God, you need to go to 1 Corinthians 15:58 and you need to say, Satan, I'm about to read something to you. You're going to listen. You're going to listen because I'm going to be steadfast. I'm going to be unmovable. I'm going to be always abounding in the work of the Lord. Again, it's not because of me. He's saying, look what I just told you is coming. So because of that, the hymn writer wrote a song, work for the night is coming. When man works no more. We got to tell ourselves, we got to look in the mirror, we got to talk to ourselves, okay? It's okay, maybe not do it on the SkyTrain, maybe don't do it on the bus. If you do it, just talk quietly to yourself, okay? But at home, man, look right in that mirror and preach to yourself. Turner, listen, right? And read the Bible. Read it out loud. You know, when Jesus read the Bible to Satan, he got out of there. Submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil. And you know what he does? He flees. Submit to God. This is God's word. Let's submit to God's word. Resist the devil. It's not me. I can't resist the devil in my own strength, but with this right here, we are more than conquerors, aren't we? And God's given us the victory. You could even quote 57 and say, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Come on, listen, listen, listen. Ben, listen, you got to talk to yourself sometime, and you got to say your name and say, listen, I can hear the enemy trying to convince me of whatever. No, this is no time to pack it in. This is the time to advance. We might be a little bit sore. We might be a little bit painful, physically, emotionally, all of it, spiritually. Therefore, my beloved brethren, therefore, my beloved sisters, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor, we need laborers, don't we? Laboring in prayer. By the way, you know, if you've ever prayed, you know it's laboring. Isn't it something? As soon as you start to go to prayer, and you go to prayer, maybe you've even got all the distractions off, you've got all the, you know, the notifications turned off, or your phone's put away, you're in a quiet place, you can begin to pray, and it doesn't take long at all. You begin to pray, and what happens? You start thinking about something just out of the blue. Maybe I'm the only one. I don't think so. You know why that happens? Because the devil knows that a praying Christian is going to get work done. The devil knows it. We need people to labor in prayer. These little prayer request sheets on the bulletin, we got the prayer page as well on Wednesday nights. Again, we don't just print those up for the sake of filling up a piece of paper. We need people to get a hold of those 43 missionaries and pray over them. These men and women are on the front lines. You know what that means? That means their children that are following them are on the front lines. I'm so thankful, though, that we have this promise, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Keep it up, Miss Susan. Your labor's not in vain. This lady's an encourager down here. I don't mean to give her a big head. She won't be able to get out the building tonight, but she's an encourager. She really is. Your labor's not in vain. Cup of cold water, Jesus says, in my name, has great value. A bag of mints in my name, cough drops, it's got great value. Your labor's not in vain. We are to watch and be ready. We are to work while we have the opportunity. By the way, here's another lie of Satan. There's no need to get in a hurry. Now, I'm not talking about driving down Highway 1. Let's keep an eye and be careful, all right? You know what? He tries to tell Christians, you can serve God later. No. Don't listen to the enemy. You know, you can get serious about serving God when you're retired, whatever that means. No, let's serve God now. Why? Because we don't know when the trumpet's going to sound, number one, and then we're not going to add anything more to our works. But also, for those that are lost, we gotta keep praying for them and giving them the gospel every opportunity we have. Because again, yes, we should be in a hurry as God leads us. Don't get ahead of God. But I'm saying too many times the enemy is a great liar at telling us, just, you know, calm down. People don't want to think you're some kind of a fanatic. No, people ought to think we're peculiar, though. Think the Bible word. Different. Secondly, the tribulation begins when the church is caught up and the Holy Spirit is taken out of the world. In the days of Noah, when Noah and his family were safe in the ark, the judgment of the flood came and took them all away. After Lot left Sodom, the fire and brimstone came down. These are pictures of that which will occur when the saints are taken out. Would you go to Luke 17? Thank you for your patience listening tonight. I trust again that God is helping us. Luke 17. Speak to someone tonight before you leave. If you're not sure you're saved, don't just leave and go out in your car and go about, you know, eating and drinking, you know. I'm not saying that in a bad way, eating and drinking. I'm just saying don't go about life as normal. If the Holy Spirit is convicting us about not being saved tonight, talk to somebody about it. If he's convicting us about doing more for the work of the Lord, talk to him about it. Get involved in the work of the Lord. I love what he said this morning. There's no greater privilege, something like this, than to serve God. And again, you don't have to sit up here or lead a song or play a piano to serve God. You might just carry this in every night. That's serving God. You might carry this chair in. I'm glad you do. Whoever carries it in, thank you. On Sunday night, by the time the night's out, you know, I need to sit down. I'm glad I have a chair to sit on. I'm so thankful for that. But somebody carried it in here. Again, we have to think, what does it mean to serve God? It doesn't always mean that somebody sees us, but God does. We need behind-the-scenes laborers. I like being behind the scenes, believe it or not. I'd rather just do that, but this is what God's called me to do. Luke 17, verse 34. By the way, I'm thankful for it. I'm not complaining. I tell you, in that night there shall be two men in one bed. The one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding together. The one shall be taken and the other left. Two men shall be in the field. The one shall be taken, the other left. What's this saying? This is saying that it obviously not at all times of the day are people doing things. Sometimes we have us here doing things, and halfway around the world, they're in bed. One shall be in bed. One shall be taken that's not in bed. In other words, it will be day in some places and night in others. Jesus comes throughout the entire world. There will be a confusion like none other as the saints of God are caught up and the unsaved are left behind. We believe this begins the period of the tribulation. Would you go to 1 John 3, please? We're almost done here. And this will be talked about in more detail next week. So as Paul Harvey said, we might get the rest of the story next week. If you've ever heard of Paul Harvey, anyway. I remember listening to him as a teenager painting for my dad, and we always had the radio on. I know that's a novel concept in 2026. A radio? What's a radio? And we always had WJR 760 out of Detroit, Michigan. And one of the parts of the day was the rest of the story. Those are always really neat to listen to, you know, painting away. Wishing I wasn't painting away, but anyway. I'm so glad we have the entire story right here. God's story. The B-I-B-L-E, basic instructions before leaving earth. I'm glad we have it. 1 John 3:3. And every man that hath this hope, what does he do? He just lives like the devil. No. Purifieth himself. Even as he is pure. Did you notice verse 2? Let's jump back up and read verse. Let's read 1, 2, and 3. I should have done that. You get a better context. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the what? Sons of God. Hallelujah. Wow. Therefore, the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. Honestly, the world doesn't understand. I'm not better than the world. They just don't understand. They don't understand the word of God. That's why we need people. We've got to pray that people would get saved, because then when someone gets saved, the Holy Spirit of God comes inside, who is the author of the word, and that's how we understand the word. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, Jesus, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Wow. Just meditate on that for a minute or a moment. And every man that hath this hope, so now you get the whole idea of what the hope is. The hope is that someday we're going to see him and we're going to be like him. What's that mean? That means we're not going to have any more corruption. That's what it means, be like him. We're going to have our glorified body. Wow. Sinless body. Personally, I don't think our looks are necessarily going to change, because you read in some of the parts of the Word of God that people saw people after they had gone on and they recognized who they were still. Right? Lazarus, he saw him in Abraham's bosom. How did he know it was Lazarus? Well, because he still looked like Lazarus. Anyway, we can, you know, it's all right. We can go to Starbucks and talk about it someday, but it doesn't really matter. But I'm hoping mine's a little bit taller, as I've told you before. But anyway. All in fun. But every man that hath this hope, this is so convicting, we're going to finish it up right here, purifieth himself. Do you know what that's saying? That's saying that because we know we're going to be like him, for we shall see him as he is, that we should start now to live that way. We should start now to get the old ways out of us. Now, it's not your job to do it. God, we have to let God help us. But he's saying he purifieth himself because he knows he's going to see Jesus someday, right? It's like he's getting ready for this grand reunion. Well, not really reunion, first time, right? Getting to be with the Lord for the very first time for all of eternity. He's saying now, John is saying, we're purifying ourselves now. So we're actually getting ready. We still have this old flesh, but we're with the help of the Lord, we're doing everything we can to say no to sin and yes to the Holy Spirit. No to flesh. What's our three enemies? The world, the flesh, and the devil. Those are our three enemies. Even as he is pure. Well, praise the Lord for God's word. If you're saved tonight, let me encourage you to take some time before you pillow your head and you miss that hour of sleep. So maybe you're going to have to go to bed a little bit earlier. I might be there too. But take a moment in your bed or before you lay down and just say, God, I am so thankful that I'm saved. Think back to when you got saved for a moment. Surroundings. God, thank you for saving me. He didn't just save us and then leave us. Jesus said, I must leave because when I leave, the Comforter will come. The Holy Ghost. So then we can say, God, thank you that you've given me your Spirit to live within me, to be my guide, to be my comforter, to be my convictor. Just thank him. Like the lady said, God, thank you that I have a Bible. So many people don't have a Bible in their mother tongue. God, thank you for the Bible I have. God, thank you that I have a church. Hey, how about this? God, thank you that I have the family of God. God, thank you for freedom. I mean, on and on and on it goes.